Frosty, Heidi, and Frank. 520-9710. 888-520-9710. The Frosty, Heidi, and Frank Show.
Live from Los Angeles on 97.1 FM Talk and the country and the world listening in online as well. We are Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
Here's Ashley writing in about Julie, the woman who has 50 sexual partners, and she's 33 years old. Yeah. Everyone thinks she's a slut.
Mm-hmm.
Says, Julie said 50, but everyone knows you cut your number by at least a third when you're telling people. I'd say she really's been with at least 70, and that's a lot.
Probably so.
You know, yeah, you always go low. And she's on the radio telling everybody, she's like, I don't know, 50.
On the 50? Radio, you'd be
that's
honest.
Conservative.
No, on the radio, you'd be honest because no one knows you.
So Farty's probably been with 300 when she says
probably
100 to 100.
300. Then if you count all the S and T's.
Yeah. And that's just the 300 she remembered.
Exactly.
Like, exactly.
Oh, who could it possibly be?
Uh-oh. I think a guess.
Uh-oh. Oh, who?
Who is it? It's a surprise.
Oh, my God.
David Faustino. It's like that movie with Adam Sandler. It's like I dreamt it. I said it out loud, and here he is in the studio with us.
Oh, my goodness.
We need a chair.
Whatever
you want.
Do we have another chair over here?
Oh, here's a chair. Here's a chair.
He's got a microphone here.
Oh.
These are all new chairs, too. The other ones were covered in white, crusty stains. We have no idea what they were.
That was from the last time I was here.
Exactly.
Hasn't gone anywhere.
How you been, man?
Good, man. Good to see you.
Is his mic on, Frank, the blue one?
Yeah, his mic's on. Let's put that right in your face. Yeah,
pull it up a little bit. We were set you up for the other mic. There we go.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
No, wait a second.
Really.
Can't hear you at all.
Francis.
It's a malfunction of equipment.
Well, it's not my fault. It's Dee's fault. There we go.
All right.
There
hi, David.
Hey, guys.
There it is.
Hey. This is my friend Christiana, by the way.
Hi, Christiana.
Hi. Look at you.
Beautiful.
She's cute, is she not?
She is cute.
Uh-huh. Just friends?
Yeah, we're just friends. We've just been hanging out for a little while.
Oh, my.
Just
so,
friends.
Last time I saw you, this had to be, what, eight, nine, ten years ago?
Really that long?
Seems like
it. Well, I've talked to you guys on the phone. I think we've done some phoners since then. But since I've actually seen you, yeah,
I've been in the
studio.
I mean, yeah.
You know, David Faustino actually has, this is for trivia buffs, for I guess, me and Frank. Heidi hasn't always been with us. You go back 10 years ago. It was me and Frank on a different show with a bitch. And Heidi did the traffic report. But here's some trivia for you. The last photo ever taken of the old morning show that Frank and I did with Jamie White was with you.
Where at? What studio?
It was at another station here in town over at Star. Uh-huh. Going back 10 years ago.
Wow,
I don't know,
yeah.
It was on my MySpace. And when I was going through my material, I thought, wow, this is the last time the three of us ever appeared together was for that photo.
Huh.
And right after that photo was taken, we were fired. Minutes
afterwards. Wow.
After I leave today, you'll be fired.
I was going to say, maybe we shouldn't take a picture today.
He's the angel of death. When you see David, you know you're gone.
So that was 10 years ago. Look at us now.
Absolutely.
We're 10 pounds heavier and grayer and more depressed.
And less money. But other than that, we're doing fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone knows David Faustino from the one of the best sitcoms and longest running of all time. One of them, Married with Children, mm-hmm. Bud Bundy. And Frosty's told me over the years many times that I look like you.
Really?
Yeah, that we could be brothers.
So
yeah, look at that.
Good looking guy.
I could be your better looking older brother.
Oh, no.
I could be your better, more well hung little brother.
There you go. Trade off. Slap, slap. You got me. Damn it.
You used to look more like him. I don't know your face. Your head's
I'm
much bigger
old.
Than
you've
David.
Changed. A younger
I got a
friend.
Large melon.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
What's funny is I get those messages all the time on MySpace and Facebook. You know, everybody tells me you look like I look like you. And sometimes the guys will be better looking than me. And I'm like,
right.
Okay, that works. That works.
Right, right.
And then there's just like these butt ugly guys. And I'm like, how dare you think I look like you?
You see the people that come up at our events go, hey, this guy looks, and you know, it's always just this big, fat, bloated, puffy, sweaty, ogre looking guy.
Yeah,
which I don't look like at all.
Dead on.
So what you're saying is dead on. Yeah, dead on.
Yeah.
Now, nail on head.
How much weight do you think Frosty's gained in the 10 years? Look at that.
In all honesty,
yes.
I didn't recognize him in the hallway.
I don't recognize myself in a mirror.
Oh,
yeah, I knew you wouldn't recognize me because I don't look anything like I did 10 years ago. The 10 years have not been kind to this whole body.
You know, let me tell you something. The 10 years that it took me to maintain this machine, I mean, this takes a lot of work to maintain
you
this
thing. You haven't really aged, though. You have like a boyish look about you, so you don't really look... older.
Thank you. No, thank you. I'm but I'll keep shrinking actually as I get older.
Yeah.
I'll go from 5'3" to 4'11".
As next... we all do.
You always see in like the TMZ where they find you and you got the attractive taller woman with you. It's like you always take an attractive tall woman with you wherever you go.
She's a shorty though, this one.
I'm shorty. I'm
how tall are you?
5'5".
What?
Yeah.
With those boots on, maybe.
I have a tall presence.
Yes.
Yeah.
So do I.
She's long.
Yeah, my presence is 6'5".
Yeah.
So Dan Faustino hanging out with us. What have you been up to lately? What are you doing?
Oh man, it's been an amazing ride. I mean, I'm here to talk to you guys about a show I've been working on called Starving, which is a show I created. My partners and I created for Sony. Sorry, I'm kicking her now. For Sony Digital, their new entertainment website, which is called Crackle, and I went in and we created a show for them, and we sold it for 13 episodes, and we premiere this Friday, and it's a pretty it's a way out there, raunchy, over the top.
Is it a reality show?
It's not reality.
Okay.
It's scripted reality.
All right.
It's me playing myself. I'm playing like the worst of myself. I'm playing like the unemployed, sex addict, alcoholic, drug addict, idiot, but I'm still playing.
So it's all true.
So it's right on the money.
But you're still David Faustino in the show. You're yourself, including name.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because most guys will change their last name playing, you know, David Foster or whatever. But I just said, you know what? Screw it, man. Let's just go for it.
And you've never had any of those problems?
Oh, I've had most of them.
Okay,
and but I've kept it in check pretty good.
Right,
but this character—it's
just an exaggerated version.
Yes, it's to the nth degree of all of my insanity.
When you're doing the show, it's scripted. I know you said, but how much of it is ad libbed in the way like Curb Your Enthusiasm is?
Well, that's what the log line of the show was first. It was a Curb Your Enthusiasm meets the anti-entourage, sort of. And so what we do is we write about a 3-page treatment. We write some of the lines that we think are really hilarious, and then the rest is all ad-libbed on the day of shooting.
So you just say, here's where we need to get. I don't care really how you get there. Just make sure you use this one line and then do whatever.
And then do whatever. Yeah.
How fun.
It's so much fun. We have Sam Cass, who is a 3-time Emmy winner from Seinfeld. He produced and wrote. He's our you know, one of our main writers. Corin Nemec, who played Parker Lewis Can't Lose on that show for years, which, you know, we say in the intro is, you know, you remember he played Parker Lewis Can't Lose. Well, we don't remember either, but unfortunately.
That's why I said, okay.
He did lose.
Yeah.
So it's that. And then one of the first episodes is I have one of the first Married with Children reunions, the entire cast that's ever been done. Let
alone
online.
Say yes.
Oh yeah.
Episode, Ed O'Neill too.
Oh, Ed O'Neill, cool. Wow. Christina Applegate, Katie Sagal, and it's a funny episode because you know, I'm destitute. Basically, at the beginning of every episode, I'm sort of suicidal, and in this one, we find out through a Variety type, you know, newspaper that they're making a Married with Children reunion movie. So I'm like, I get all excited, like, I get to the set and I see them all, and they're sort of like, you know. And anyway, it ends up. Seth Green they've hired Seth Green to play Bud Bundy. It's very funny. So there's this whole showdown, and me and Seth have a showdown. And, but they were all cool, man. They came and did it, and it's pretty fun. We have Gilbert Godfrey, we have Ed Asner, a bunch of people. It's cool.
This is pretty big.
It's very fun.
And you came up with this idea. You said, I'm going to. Was it based on what you're trying to do now? Like, you're having a hard time at all? Or are you like, I'm just going to do this show about me and exaggerate my life?
I think what it came out of is two things. One, the frustrations of coming off of a hit show and having to, like, get back on the audition trail and do all of that. And then the frustration of trying to create all these shows and sort of hitting dead ends. And then my partners and I one day were just like, you know what? Let's just write this, and let's turn the volume up to 11 and exaggerate this. So that's what we did. So it's our life, and we just make fun of it. And
so the anti-entourage is that you just don't have one, and it's just, you're just in a ditch, really.
In a ditch, but, literally trying to get back up to just ground level.
But what a great,
hilarious.
Like, you were on Married with Children. Married with Children for how long? How many years?
Married with Children I did for 11 seasons.
So what an awesome feeling. I'm just supposing, you didn't have to answer, but you don't have to work. You're like, I was on a hit, the hottest show on television for 11 years. You're like, I can work if I want, you know, if I don't, whatever.
Well, part of the joke is that, you know, we made great money doing Married with Children all those years,
no doubt.
But it was also set up under a cable contract because Fox, if you remember back then, was not a network.
Right.
So weekly we got great money. Residually we just got screwed, for lack of a
Yeah. Isn't it amazing? Every hit show you can think of, including Seinfeld and the rest, everyone has the same story. You think that they're getting money, big money from residuals, reruns, but they're not. Someone else is making the cash from it.
Wait a second. Christiana's actually about to say something.
So when I'm at the gym watching the repeats of Married with Children...
Wait a second.
Children,
you don't have the money I thought you had? Wait, I gotta get out of here.
What am I doing here?
Does her color change? She's like, I think I'm gonna be sick.
I'm sorry, David. I was not a very good wingman on that one.
I slept really with you.
I thought I was sleeping with a millionaire.
You brought him to light.
That's great. David Faustino hanging out with us. If you'd like to call and ask him any questions about Married with Children or anything else in his life, 888-520-9710.
Hey, Jose and Colton, what's up?
Hey, what's happening, man?
Hey, Jose.
Ah, man, David, you're my hero, man. Ever since I was... You know, I was in my early 20s watching you guys. You guys were, the Married with Children guys were the best.
Well, if I'm your hero, how are you doing these days? I hope you're doing better than me.
I'm laid off. You know, I just
perfect.
I have a radio, and I got, you know, channel 2 through 13, and I sit around drink beers, and, you know, I used to sit there and, you know, like to look at Kelly and all, you know, but...
You know, Kelly.
Well, thank you, man. I appreciate the support through the years. She's going to be on the show, too, so if you like to look at Kelly, she looks even hotter now. So,
awesome. Okay, yeah. Hey, David Faustino, number one.
Thanks, brother.
Ben in Beverly Hills, what's up?
Hey there, David. I just wanted to say, I saw your movie Freezer Burn. I was actually at the premiere at Paramount, like, I don't remember, 4 years ago, something like that. And my dad's good friend, Robert Hayes, was in it with you.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry you had to sit through that.
but that guy was in Married with Children. I was like 16, so, you know.
I have a question about Married with Children, which I'm sure you haven't have any questions about that show.
This will be the first.
Right. I noticed when I watched the show, the audience seemed to be really into it, more so than most other shows. And so, you know, like Christina walks out and they whoop and holler for 15 seconds. Is that difficult to shoot? Because you've got to stand there waiting for the crowd to die down. Yet you're still in character and your character wouldn't be hearing the audience whoop and holler. I just noticed how involved the audience was in that show compared to most sitcoms.
Well, you use involved, I say drunk. and they really were.
Really?
I mean, these guys would just show up. I mean, I kid you not, they would be just absolutely tanked when they got
there. That's the best.
Especially toward the end of the run, because it was all about, it wasn't even about watching the show. We have just become freak shows by that point. We were like circus freaks. So they just wanted to come and look at the Bundys and laugh and get really
drunk.
There's
the couch. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh, we had guys come down and, like, I literally got fan mail where people would tell me, yeah, I stole this thing off the set. Or this cop.
So much for security.
Yeah. I enjoyed it, though. I enjoyed the audiences because, I don't know, maybe I'm an egomaniac and love the attention. But, like, some people thought it got too much because the audiences got so out of hand and so loud. But to me, I always enjoyed it.
I just wondered if you guys noticed how loud the crowd was.
Oh, we noticed. Ed O'Neill hated it. he did. He said, just send them home. You can do it without them. Yeah. That's totally what he wanted.
How much did you all hate when they brought on the little brother? Well, I don't even remember that kid's name. Exactly.
They did this, I don't remember what season was, but they brought in a kid who
little blonde, annoying kid.
Talented,
he wasn't even cute.
If he was talented, it would have been one thing. I hate to say it, but the kid was not an actor.
He sucked.
It was horrible. And it just didn't work out. I mean, the hate mail we got for that character was like, are you just trying to destroy the show?
Yeah, and you just didn't need it. Loved you, and
it
people
so
hate
bad.
Change.
Because
anyway.
Married with Children is one of those shows that, if it comes on, you're watching the whole show. I mean, that's with me, whatever time, like I said, you're at the gym, you're turning on that TV to watch Married with Children. Because I love that show. When they brought that kid on, I was pissed off. I felt hurt.
It was horrible.
Yeah.
It was the wrong edition. So, and then the way they ended it was we ended up seeing him on a milk carton. Have you seen? That's the only way they explained it.
Good.
It was very funny.
Oscar in Lakewood, your Frosty, Heidi Frank, and David Faustino. What's up, Oscar?
What's up, guys? This is a Hispanic. Hey, what's up, bud?
What's up, brother?
Hey, I just want to ask you, did you ever bang Christina Applegate?
anything
with her?
Funny enough, I can't answer that question because I don't kiss and tell. And if I said no, I'd look like a loser. So I won't say that. But I have an episode coming up in Starving. That's the kind of show it is. Because the question he just asked me, is it Oscar?
Yeah.
The question he just asked me, I kid you not, like, I get that as one of the most asked question by males, like, on a daily basis. So we have
an episode. Still haven't answered it.
Well, we have an episode where I'm writing for next season on starving, where I get really mad. I come home because somebody had just asked me, you know, have you slept with your sister? And I always have to say no, because honestly, I didn't. So, but in my character, I'm pissed off about that. Like, I can't even admit. So Corin sets me up. He's like, hey, you should go out to the beach house, get her drunk, and try to, you know. So we have that episode coming up, and something, of course, will go horribly wrong, as it usually does.
Now, you said it's going to 13 episodes from Sony Digital to put it together, and it's going to be on their new website.
Yeah, can I give the name of the
Crackle
website? It's crackle.com.
It's spelled with a C, right?
Yeah, C-R-A-C-K-L-E. Is that right?
How else do you spell crackle, right?
Well, you spell crackle with a K. It's like that candy bar crackle. It's spelled with a K, right?
That's so funky.
I went to set school, so forgive me. But it's crackle.com. And right now you can log on and you just push starving. You click on the starving icon and it's there. They have a preview up right now. And check it out. It's pretty funny.
And it says here that you, David Faustino, plays an exaggerated version of himself. He's broke, can't find a job, and his wife has left him for rap star Coolio.
Yes, oh, Coolio. God. Coolio plays my next door neighbor.
Who is awesome.
He's
awesome.
Like a great guy.
She left me for Coolio, but they happen to still live in the house right across the street, so I got to see them outside, you know, gardening. It's pretty funny.
Idea, like, to put it on this crackle.com with 13 episodes to see the popularity and the growth that it has, and maybe it would go to a network somewhere?
Well, it's funny. The answer to that is it's all becoming one, man. I mean, Sony, they put a lot of money behind this, more than like your average web show. So their idea, they're either going to want to use us to blow up their website, which is fine. As long as we can do it and they can give us some creative freedom and we can have some longevity and some success and make a living, I'm fine with staying online.
Cool.
But they may have bigger, I mean, it's Sony, so they may have bigger visions for it. I don't know. I'm just showing
up.
So
with new media, getting your show on a network isn't what it was 20 years ago. I mean, maybe there's going to be 20 or 15, maybe 10 years from now, maybe more people will watch shows online than watch them through the network.
It's very true. As a matter of fact, people are already hooking up their entire computer systems to their plasma television.
Yeah,
and it's all one.
Yeah.
So we don't know. We just want to have longevity and fun and some creative
freedom.
How
do you do the first episode? Did you already get the deal, or did you have to go, hey, you guys bring your cameras, let's do a pilot.
Shot it.
You did it.
Me and my boys we scraped together some change, and we shot it all on our own, and that's how we sold the show.
That is so cool.
Because nobody reads in this town anymore.
Right.
It's like, you got to show it to them.
Yeah.
So you can kind of do it on the cheap these days. I mean, with digital cameras. A few thousand dollars and you've got a show.
Absolutely. As long as you can show them the funny. It doesn't have to be perfect, but if you can show them the story, what the characters will look like, even if it looks like crap visually, they
can
get it.
That,
yes,
yeah.
Exactly. So that's what we did.
Dang.
Marcus, you're with David Faustino.
Hey, this is Marcus. Hey, David, I was at a club in Chinatown a couple years ago, and you came walking up to the club. It was Firecracker with a big old line out front. Came walking up to the front of the line and the security guard, he said, hey, Bud Bundy, come on in. You didn't have such a happy look on your face when he said that. And I just was wondering what it's like for everybody to know you as Bud Bundy and not know your real name.
You know, it's one of those things. When I was a teenager and in my early 20s, when I was really angry, it used to bother me, but I've gotten to the point where I really don't care.
So it's like the Shatner syndrome. He still gets called Kirk regardless of what else he does.
It is what it is. I'd rather, you know, it doesn't really bother me. I grew up with it. It's just part of my life now. Some people know my name. Some people don't. I'd rather them at least look at me.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You've mellowed.
Chinatown. Didn't you have a phase where you were into rap? You did a rap album, as I recall.
Oh, yeah. I'm still into hip-hop.
You still do?
I'm pushing 35, but I'm still trying to get my hip-hop career off the ground. I'm thinking.
Why 35? I can see it happening.
I see it. It's on its way. I'm not giving up.
Yeah, I think last time I saw you, we were out and you were doing some DJing or something at a club somewhere, and you were hosting the party and DJing yourself, I think.
That's I'm still very active in that whole, you know, the whole hip hop scene and going out to clubs, and I still like to write hip hop for a hobby, but it's, you know, I'm not trying to go for that as a career move anymore.
Does that come up in the show, obviously?
We make fun of it. Oh, yeah, we make fun of everything.
Yeah, you have to. Yeah.
Well, I can't wait to see it. And you say it debuts on
Friday.
Crackle.
We premiere this Friday, January 16th. It's a great episode. It's where I go to hit up Ed O'Neill, who played my father, Al Bundy, who got residuals, I go to hit him up for cash. And it's a pretty funny scene.
Is there a time, or I can just go to crackle.com and I just click it and I can watch
as long
it anytime?
I believe it starts at 11 a.m. Fridays, and then you can go at any time after 11. So 11 on, crackle.com, starving. Check it out. I want to mention my creative partner, Todd Bringawatt, who I know is listening right now.
Hey, Todd.
Hey, Todd.
Let's talk, Todd.
And Sam Cash from Seinfeld, and of course, Corin Nemec, who plays my partner.
Well, good luck, man. Come back anytime. Always fun. Good luck with everything.
Thanks for having me
on. See you in 10 more years somewhere.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
What went wrong?
Fatter and grayer. Yeah.
We're Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
They go together like a horse and carriage. This I'll tell you, brother.
This is 97.1 FM Talk.
We're Frosty, Heidi, and Frank. I find it thrilling that we're on the cutting edge of a new media. Well, it's already here. Where people like David Faustino can have a good idea for a show, and rather than trying to sell it to network and wait for multi-million dollars to bankroll it, you just get your buddies a digital camera, a little time, a little money, and it's done. It's there, and you can put it online on a website.
Right.
I mean, that's where we're going, and it's cool. That means we're probably going to have a lot of good creative stuff that you can now see that networks would have thumbed their nose at and wouldn't have bankrolled. So it could be a glorious new age of entertainment, which you'll find online as well as the networks, just around the corner.
Got an email saying that Carolla made a comment about him this morning saying, I think he might have been slamming you guys for having him on. I don't know. We knew the schedule and saw that David Faustino was coming on our show today.
How does he know, and I don't know.
Yeah. That's weird. It wasn't a direct slam. He said something like, well, we're not going to have a David Faustino on the show. And we did.
But we will have David Alan Greer on every single week. Oh, I'm kidding. I'm teasing because I'm kidding.
Adam's comment really hurt your feelings that you got to lash out like that?
Nah, I don't really care one way or another. I'm just faking.
Hey, come on, Adam.
I'm faking angry.
This is the show that had on Chekhov. You had on Chekhov?
Yeah. You haven't had on Chekhov.
Oh, geez. What a whiz bang that was.
Fun.
I'm going to check that out on crackle.com.
I heard that on Adam's show. Damn it, I missed it.
Maybe we can get the audio.
It sounds like if he knew the guest for weed, it's like 24. He has a mole.
Yeah, there's
a mole on the staff.
Well, we've suspected that for years.
There's a mole in administration.
There's a mole in
here. There's a mole.
We should have that removed. It could be cancerous.
Oh, God.
Where were we?
We weren't really anywhere. We're just like, we ended the thing with dating, then David Faustino came on, and then wherever we want to go now, I don't care.
Well, I can take us somewhere that may be similar to David Faustino. I don't know if David Faustino has ever had stalkers.
Oh. You
should ask him.
Well, there wasn't time.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing here.
How would you like to be known as the stalker of David Faustino?
I'm guessing he has.
That'd be a good episode.
You know, you've made it.
Stalkers from back in the day.
Right.
If you have a show that is enormously successful, and that show was on,
11 years?
For 11 years. I'm sure that when you get that many people looking at your face, there are that many people watching you, you know, millions of people know who you are.
All over the world.
There's a few nuts out there, and if you have an audience that numbers in the millions, of course there's going to be people who want to know you and feel like you owe them their time. Because it's weird the way radio, even television or movies work, because people have seen you in their house. They turn the television on, and there you are in their bedroom. You're in bed with them, so to speak. You're in their front room. So they feel like you owe them. I mean, they feel like they know you. And because they never get that... It's a one way affection, so to speak. They feel like you owe them something back.
No, I think it's beyond just you need to be friends. It's I love you, right?
Or your character. You know, they think that's really you. And some of these weird, twisted, warped minds, like the lady that David Letterman couldn't shake for many years, actually think they're in your life because you've been in theirs.
More recently, the Paula Abdul suicide chick.
Oh, yeah, ended up killing herself right in front of Paula's house.
Isn't that horrible? Well, a little study was out last night I stumbled on. Guess how many Americans, not just stars, of course, but it would include the Hollywood set, how many Americans identify themselves as being victims of stalking during the past year?
Well, I think that's probably a high number just because we all feel like, I think we've all done it, some on a very, very small level.
Not done it, but a victim of it.
No, I know.
All
so
I
I'm
do
just
is
thinking,
stalk.
I'm thinking of that most all of us have done it on a small way, like driving around somebody's house and seeing if they're home and you're interested in them. So, oh, their car's in the driveway. We'll go call. And you drive and you try to figure out where they're going to be and when. So I would say knowing that, the number's probably high. You want percentage-wise?
Give me a number based on the people in the United States. How many people in either hundreds, thousands,
have
whatever
been watched?
Have been stalked.
100,000 people.
Let me give you the definition of stalking, then you'll be able to play along a little better. The definition of stalking includes such things as unwanted phone calls, showing up unexpectedly, repeatedly. They define that as more than once. So the second time you just happen to be there at their favorite coffee shop. Unsolicited letters or emails and spreading rumors about the victim. So we add all those things together. Someone is just a little...
Spreading rumors is stalking?
Apparently, by definition.
That wouldn't have...
So you can't talk about somebody?
Spreading rumors? Yeah, I don't see why
that's... Isn't that talking?
Yeah, I thought that was just talking. Not stalking. Stalking is I'm around you. I'm
hunting.
Following you wherever you go.
Right.
Me just talking. It's not stalking.
Let's say I have the hots for Amber Tamblyn, who has a new show coming up. And let's say I start spreading rumors. Oh, you know, me and Amber, we hang out all the time. Me and Amber, we went to the movie last night. Okay, I'm spreading rumors that she's hanging out with me when in fact she's not.
That's just rumors.
But technically that's stalking.
Mm-mm.
It is.
I know, 'cause you're
not. In a mild sort of way.
But you really don't know what she's doing. You're making up stuff. You're lying.
Right.
That's stalking.
Oh.
As opposed to everywhere she turns, you're like, that guy's
well, based
here
on
again.
That definition.
Yeah. Stalking.
No, I don't think I've been stalked in the last year.
Maybe you don't know it. See. Not every time does a stalker pop out of the bushes. They may be there all the time looking at you.
I'm kind of disappointed, but I haven't been stalked in the last year.
I don't know if I have or not.
Yeah, with you, with your life and the break-in and stuff like that, it's kind of
a
mystery.
Was that
a stalker?
Yeah. You took a couple of prized possessions.
I hate to think that you have a stalker and I don't. That'd be really disappointing for me.
Really?
You got one before I did?
No, maybe you've had one.
I don't think I've ever had one.
No, there was a girl who would show up a long time ago.
Really?
Really?
Tell us.
But showing up to events is not stalking.
No,
I'm inviting people to come.
No, it was different than that.
No, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
If we go to Morongo and we're saying, come out and join us, and people join us and they've been to other events before, I don't think they're stalkers.
No, we're
inviting people to a party.
But if someone, after 8 years, has been at every single event and is always in your face and trailing you like a little Siamese
but,
twin,
the only time
that's a stalker.
No, the only time I ever see them is at the event. It'd be weird if...
You'd see them.
Yeah. I saw them.
At the Ralph's by your house.
Yeah.
Like, all right.
And then in other places, it just doesn't make sense. Then I would get... You know, something's fishy.
But of all the dozens and dozens of appearances that this show would have made.
I want people to show up.
But the same person in all of them?
Yes.
Every single one of them.
I don't care.
Then there's a familiarity. Then they know what to expect.
Yeah, I recognize people all the time. I'm like, hey, and they're like, I can't believe you remember me.
Right. Yeah.
All right, but there's a difference between being in the audience and checking the show out for 79 times over 8.5 years. And every time you're there, you're in front of me. And following me around, and you won't leave me alone.
They love you.
That's a stalker.
No,
a
stalker is...
That's way beyond fan.
No, a stalker is when you're at Morongo, and one of the listeners figures out which room you're in, and they're sitting outside your door. So when you open it, they're like, hey, Heidi. And you're like, hi. And like, yeah, I found out which room you're in.
Yeah, maybe I don't have stalkers.
And then you're like, ooh.
Everyone pretty much crashes in my room.
Yeah.
It's like, you don't have to sit outside, knock, come in, sleep in here, I don't care.
Well, I'm a girl all by myself. A girl can't do that, a guy can. A guy can go, come on in, man. I can't go, hey, come on in, man. And now I'm alone in a hotel room with a strange guy.
Last time we went to Morongo, had a party in my room with, you know, the people who went down on
the night
Thursday.
Before, yeah.
And pre-partied for the show the next day. And we just got all tanked, and Frosty went to bed early. And we stacked beer cans outside of his door,
that's right.
So when he opened it up, there's just nothing but a beer can wall that he had to walk through.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that with a hangover.
So did the Morongo housekeeping crew.
But I don't consider those guys stalkers. They're going to consider me a freak.
Well,
God, that's right.
By the way, we are going to be in Morongo on Friday the 23rd, so you can come stalk us there at Morongo Casino Resort and Spa in Cabazon. Before I tell you the number, how many people say they actually have been stalked within the last year?
In the country?
In the United States. Mm. I have to defend stalkers and stalking because in my warped, twisted view of the world, that's pretty much how you get someone to notice you. Now, before you instantly jump up and go, no, you're a stalker, let me just say, don't most, if not all, relationships start on one person noticing the other and going, hey, I kind of like that person. Somebody notices someone first. It's not always you both around
the
corner.
You're going down to the basics of, you know, the hunt and stalking is approaching the the prey.
And?
Right. And so the first time I walk up, I'm stalking right. you because and I noticed
I've
you.
I've been watching.
No, the first time I'm stalking. But let's say I go to Starbucks and Heidi's behind the counter working at Starbucks. Okay, you don't know me. Nothing happened. I ordered coffee. You gave me coffee and I left. But I kind of liked you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I go back and I keep going back till you're working again, and now I start talking to you, and now maybe I find out, oh, you again. Oh, you must work every weeknight. No, I work Tuesdays and Thursdays, you tell me. Now I keep showing up on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Why? Because I'd like to get to know you. I am, by definition, stalking you.
Well, that's minor.
But that's stalking.
But there's degrees.
Right. Totally.
You going because you know she works Tuesdays and Thursdays at the coffee house is cute. But you following her home, finding out where she lives, and all of a sudden it's like, hey, aren't you the coffee girl? And you're standing outside of her apartment door.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if she gets off work and I just happen to be in the parking lot, my car just happens to be parked next to yours, and I just happen to be there. Oh, you're getting off work?
And you happen to have scissors in your hand, you're going, boo. That's stalking.
I'm
crazy
just saying,
stalking.
In my definition, you have to do stuff like that, do you not, to get noticed sometimes. It is stalking, but it's healthy stalking. There's nothing wrong with doing that.
I think in this case, you go up and you make that initial contact, and if there's interest there, then numbers are exchanged, or what time you get off work, and she wants to give you that information, maybe we can go out later, and I'll be back when you get off and pick you up, and we'll go do something. And she's cool with that, then the initial contact was not stalking. You know, okay. But if she's not cool with that, it was like, oh, I'm going to work later. I got plans. And then you keep coming back and you won't take no for an answer. And then you send her flowers to work. And then, like you said, you're having that one side relationship that she, from the beginning, said no.
Not interested.
Well, I get that because it's clearly unwanted. She said no.
That's stalking, but not okay. The initial contact to get noticed. I don't think that's stalking.
Really?
That's just the game.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Fine. I just
that's pursuing.
Right, and pursuing could be perceived as stalker by the one being pursued.
It's
even before you've said no.
Depends on what you look like.
Well, there's that.
3.4 million people in the United States have identified themselves as the victims of stalking in the last year. 3.4 million. Now, of course, a lot of those will be celebrities, famous people who, you know, that's in that number. But a lot of people claim they somehow know they've been spied upon or followed. They've been tracked by electronic monitoring or listening devices or video cameras.
I think most of these, it wouldn't be celebrities. I don't think there's close to even a million celebrities or 100,000 celebrities.
No, but they're in
But I think that the biggest number in that group would be the insecure husband or wife that's stalking or hired a private eye or puts the latest
GPS.
Product, the GPS panties. Or, you know, in the car, you know, the magnetic GPS finder. I don't know what it is. You're stalking mm-hmm. somebody that you're with. I think
right.
that's the biggest number.
You're close, but you started on the path and went off it.
Did I lose it at panties?
You can't stalk your own husband or wife,
or
by definition,
you're
married.
No, you can't.
No.
Yes, you can.
Yes,
I mean,
Frosty,
you're
just like
married.
You can rape them.
No, she doesn't trust me. And she's following my every moment or movement, and I don't know that she's doing that. She's stalking me.
Right.
But she's hired a private eye.
She sees where
she's
you go after
pictures.
Work. She
yeah.
sits in your she's parking lot.
She's checking my email. She's going to, like, MySpace. I mean, those you're dating your stalker is what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I always say I would never put up with that crap. If you don't trust me, get out. I'm not
right.
dating my stalker.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm just saying once you're married, you can't use the word stalking. I think there's some other word. You're being
well, no,
spied
sure
upon
can.
Or trailed, but you're not being stalked because you
it's
want to be with that person.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, you were close when you said the marriage thing because apparently by this definition, about 75% of these victims, which would be, what, 2 point something million?
I'm not good at math.
Say, not only do they know their stalker, usually, more times than not, it's a former spouse or an ex-boyfriend or girlfriend. It's an ex. It's someone you don't want to be with anymore.
That's sort of what I said earlier,
that
yeah.
won't let you go.
I've never done that.
They drive around. They see if, oh, I wonder whose car's in the driveway. Oh, really? She broke up with me. Well, I'm going to drive by the house. Oh, somebody's car's in the driveway.
Stalker.
And,
never
yeah,
done
driving
that.
Driving by and seeing if you're home, seeing oh, yeah. who's home with you, that whole thing.
And how can you not, see, I think that, how can you not be curious who they're dating now?
Well, you
she's
might be curious, but I've never gone so far as to just drive outside their house to see if somebody's car's there.
Really?
It's over.
That seems like the normal thing to do to me for several weeks even.
I've done the opposite where it's like, okay, she has a boyfriend, I'm pursuing it, and I'm just driving around to see how it's going.
Mm-hmm.
Is he home?
where you got to worry there is my fear, and I'm always worst case scenario girl. I drive by at the exact time that she's deciding to that she's going to walk outside, and I'm like, oh god, go, 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 like, oh crap.
No, I'm just going to duck and drive. I think it's, you know, oh my god, that car was driving itself. It's Christine.
Yeah, because if you're busted, you have no reason for being there.
Like,
so you want to see them, but you don't want to be seen. You cannot explain why you're there.
No, there's no way out of it, so I don't do it because I just know that that's my luck. That's what would happen to me. Is that she comes out to get the mail at the time I'm cruising by.
I'm not stalking you.
Great.
Or that, or you thought about maybe parking and watching the house a little bit.
Right, yeah.
Or maybe we'll get out. Maybe so you can see in a window. It's nighttime. All of a sudden, the car pulls in the driveway, and you're just like, oh, just looking at the grass. You live here? I was just admiring your lawn.
Ah, that's so nice. Is that St. Augustine? Now, that goes dormant in the wintertime, right?
True.
You're trying to talk your way out.
Yes, I live in Long Beach, and this is Burbank. But you know, I'm over here all the time watching
I'm
by.
I'm supposed to meet a friend, and I think I got the wrong street. Friend, right.
I lost my cricket. I was walking it. It's around here somewhere. I think it hopped into your yard.
Oh, God. Could you help me look for it?
I wonder. See, I would have guessed it's 100%, but I guess I can't because Frank says
he's not wearing any tags.
Oh, there. No, that's a Katie did. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm never
going to
find that thing.
Oh. A Katie did?
No.
Wow. Anyway, I would suppose that nearly 100% of you would have, after you, whether or not you've been dumped or been the dumper, but especially if you've been the one that was dumped, when that first and second and third weekend afterward rolls around, the first and second Friday and Saturday night, how can you not be curious to go over and walk or drive by her house and see what's...
Because it's
see
torture.
If there's a party in there,
okay.
Or see if you can hear something, or see a silhouette
because
of the blind.
It's because I'm having my life now, and I'm doing my life, and I don't need to know what's going on in your life.
Well, but he's saying...
Our life is over. Now I'm living mine, and you're living yours, and I don't care what yours is doing, because I'm living mine.
No, but I'm still all heartsick and pining for
he's
you.
He's saying if you're the one who got broken up with, and that's going to go this way. Okay, now her car's home, but her lights are off. I wonder... She's probably out. She's out. I wonder who
she's
out with.
She's in bed with someone. Who's she sleeping with?
Or her car's... not home, and oh, great, well, fine, go out, but just party. You don't even care. Or her car's there, and another car's there. So there's never going to be the answer in your head that you're like, phew.
The sickest feeling is there's no car. Oh, my God, where is she?
She's out.
What
she's
is she
out.
Doing?
Or her car's home, and the lights are on. Maybe then you go, oh, maybe she's just there by herself watching TV.
I've watched for silhouettes. You want to see one, not
torture.
Two.
It's absolute torture.
I know it is. But
I know.
And the stalking seems like a natural part of getting over someone and getting to know them.
Let's take a couple calls before we have to break.
Mike and Corona, you're with Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
Hey, guys. I've done that scenario when, I've followed the woman after I've broken up with her. She's broken up with me for a while. I mean, I think everybody's done that. And I think Frank... I think Frank's the most secure person, and that's why he doesn't worry about it. He's secure with himself. He's, got what it takes.
No,
anyway,
it's called not having a heart and being dead inside.
Yeah, it's nice having a gaping hole in your chest because you really don't take things with you.
Yeah, true, true. And you move
no
on
clutter.
With your life. But I think there's a difference between stalking and infatuation. You know, how about the Grateful Dead? They had people follow them all around the world for 20 years. That was infatuation. And if somebody's is coming to your place of business and you say, please go away, you're making me uncomfortable, well, then keep coming back. Or if they show up at your car or at your house and asked, that's stalking, but just somebody liking you, that's infatuation. You have to be willing to tell somebody no, stay away. You know, that sets up the stage.
I kind of see them as the same thing. I guess we'll just agree to disagree.
Probably because everyone looks at you and says what you do, what other people will consider infatuation or pursuit. With you, it's stalking. That's what other people label you.
Yeah.
The other people can do what you do and not be labeled stalkers. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
How about this? I know we have to break, but how about this? If the stalking is interfering with the daily routine or life of the person you're stalking, then it's bad. For example, the study says of this 3.4 million of you who were stalked last year, about 130,000 of you said that actually you had been fired or asked to leave your job because of problems arising from the stalking.
Mm.
I mean, if it starts interfering with your life, if suddenly you can't go to your favorite grocery store or your favorite Starbucks, Well, that's kind of a negative
right.
thing. I've made your life.
Well, yeah, you've had to change your life around somebody just to avoid that.
Mike, it's
yeah.
even creepier if you don't know that you're being stalked. That's even creepier.
Now, you said in that list, unsolicited emails.
Yes.
Is considered stalking. Well, Dina in Phoenix, listening online at frostyhattieandfrank.com, she emails the show all the time. She's one of our biggest fans in Phoenix, and she says, unsolicited emails, huh? Oh, my God, I'm a stalker. By the way, Frank, you left your headlights on in the parking lot yesterday at the grocery store.
Oh, Dina.
That's okay, Dina.
You have permission to send us emails and to call 888-520-9710. Back with your stalking callers after this. We're Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
This is 97.1 FM Talk.
We have Frosty, Heidi, and Frank talking stalking. At 888-520-9710.
That's clever. You should do radio.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Great. Call me Pippi Longstalker.
What about Pippi Longstalker?
How about what the hell do you want?
Hey, I got something to say. I was going to high school. I was like 17 years old, and a girl named Susan was like always on me, and she already graduated. She was like calling me maybe 38, 37 times one day.
Yeah, you sound like an amazing person, though.
Hey, I am Frosty.
Most people actually go down when they give a number. 38, 37. That's very normal, isn't it?
I got an email here from Walter saying that I have had a stalker. I found out because I was trying to buy some clothes, and I was looking in one of those circular racks, and there she was.
What?
Saying she dropped her keys.
Oh, I just
inside the circular rack. I used to do that as a little kid, you know, hide from your mom and she'd get pissed off and spank you because she couldn't find you. Yeah, get in those circular racks and hide. It was kind of cool, but to be in there watching the person you love buy clothes.
And you're, like, about waist high because you're probably on your knees.
I dropped my keys.
Oh, God.
Tom, you're with Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
Yeah, there's something you guys kind of haven't touched base on. I had this ex-girlfriend who... we broke up. She started showing up to the places I would normally go that she normally would not, then accused me of stalking her and tried to get a restraining order against me. And it was an interesting thing. At that point, wherever I go, she would show up and then say, I broke up.
Somebody loves attention.
So if the restraining order actually went through, it would keep you from going to your favorite places, which kind of ruins your life.
Right.
Well, that's the point. When you have somebody who knows how to work a system and is paranoid or is a control freak, then they're actually ruining an innocent person's, you know, life being.
Is it still going on? I mean, how long did she stalk you?
No, this was years ago, but it came out later on that, I mean, everything was pretty much revealed because she ended up dating somebody else. I did the same thing to him, so the... It pretty much
okay. You lost me. I just want to know how long she did it because
the game players
got an email here saying my fiance's ex has stalked him since they broke up, and it's been 7 years now. Like she's never moved on.
See, that scares me.
Found another guy to be with, and so for 7 years there she is. Or she'll say she'll have her send her friend to stalk him if she can't. Say she's busy.
Well, go see what he's doing. I think he's going to be at such and such tonight.
It just proves he's right not to be with her because she's psychotic.
But she's crazy, and she was fun while she was there.
You think that after a breakup, maybe you worry for that next year if it was a bad one and you knew it was just horrible, and you go, oh, once that year passes, you think, year two, year three, year four.
No, I need 7 years to get over it, but I'm not going to stalk you for 7 years. How do you think about this? If you break my heart because you dump me, okay, I was the receiving end of the heartbreak. I'm not over you because I still love you, and I think the dumping was unfair.
Yeah.
And I think I can win you back. Now, if I stalk you for a while, if I drive by your house and walk by your window for a few weeks, and I realize that you have moved on, maybe I've seen you leave your place with other guys. At some point, I'm going to stop doing that because all I do when I show up at your place is hurt myself. I wanted the knowledge. I wanted to know if I have a chance or not. Seems to me that even if I'm still mad at
them,
if I've realized the answer is no, she's gone, there's the guy she's dating
even
rather than you,
I
I'm
going
to stop stalking you.
I said I don't want to be with you anymore.
You're stupid. What do you mean
I
you have a chance?
Done.
She broke up. There's no chance.
I don't
she
want to be
She had you and dumped you.
Yeah. Everyone has a chance
no,
to
the
get
chance
back together.
No,
you
no,
had your
you
chance.
Don't.
I broke up with you.
No, I dumped you.
Until you've moved on to someone else, you're with no one now, so I
but I've
no
eliminated you.
Right. I would rather be alone than
yes,
with you.
I'm choosing alone.
People change their mind.
No, they don't.
They have regrets.
Not about you.
Yes.
And you think they're going to change their mind if you stalk them?
Look, if I upset you about something or things, if I change those things, honey, I don't do such and such anymore. I'll control my temper. I'll stop beating you. Whatever. I'm better now.
See,
I can win you back.
Like I said, you being labeled a stalker, Frosty, it's happened to you before. You've done certain things that required police activity.
I did not. I was falsely accused. Falsely accused.
Okay,
it was
in this
innocent
one
mix-up.
In this one-sided relationship, that one side thought you were being a little freaky,
and it was
you were ruining her life because she couldn't get away from you.
And she moved.
It was a huge misunderstanding. I was completely innocent in that, and you know it.
There's a police report filed.
I am so innocent in this.
You did things on the air that sound like stalker. Going through garbage.
Your neighbor can't accuse you of stalking. You live next to them.
Yeah, but she can when you put stuff in the mailbox.
No, I didn't. It was a misunderstanding.
Random flowers. Everything you did was unsolicited.
Do I have a chance? Can I change your mind?
I swear to you, on all that's holy, I never went through my neighbor's
trash.
You
want to come over? I've got Perrier. Don't hear me.
When the trash truck dumps it, stuff blows out, and it ended up in my driveway. I didn't go get it out of the trash can.
Finders keepers.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I'm not a stalker.
All right.
Even though Wikipedia says I am, I'm not. Don't believe what you read in Wikipedia. It's wrong.
Absolutely true.
Frosty, ID, and Frank.
97.1 FM Talk. Get complete shows from Adam Carolla, Frosty, ID, and Frank, Danny Bonaducci, Tom Likas, and more. Just go to 97.1FMTalk.com and subscribe with iTunes.